piece of chalk. I know most all of us have seen something with a sign, a placard of some sort that said danger on it. Yes. A lot of times we'll see something on an electrical panel that says danger, high voltage. We don't need to go into great detail to explain that we're supposed to stay out of there. I have some old pieces of farm equipment around my place that instead of danger, it says, be careful. But in more modern terms, we just say danger. We don't have to caution you to be careful. It's just a notice. This is dangerous. There's something that can maybe shock you or maybe get a hold of some of your clothing and wrap you up into something. Heard recently of a young man in this area that was operating a combine and had a really bad accident. Got his arms and hands tied up into that. Thankful that the Lord spared his life, and sounds like he's going to recover. But there's a lot of danger out there in our life. I have a few instances I'm going to relate here tonight of danger that I've experienced in my life. And some of these may sound humorous to some extent, but at the time, and looking back on it, they were very dangerous in my life. There is something about young men, I'll put it that way, that seems to be enthralled with danger to some extent. Just the idea of being able to do something that maybe someone else is not brave enough to do, it seems to be a good enough reason to attempt it on your own. It's part of the reason that you'll see small boys, maybe girls do this too, but it's definitely boys do this. When they learn to ride a bicycle, they're not satisfied with just being able to ride a bicycle. The next thing they want to do is be able to ride without any hands. And it won't be long and they will be trying to ride a wheelie on the back tire. And I've done all of those type of things. And it's been quite an adjustment for my wife, having just sons. There's a lot of things that they've been enticed into just because it was intriguing. There's an element of danger there, so they thought they would try it. I remember one time, I'll have to apologize maybe to my brother later, but I remember one time I must have been about 10 and he would have probably been about 7 or 8. We were at our grandparents' house and we were free to play and all that. We were running around in the woods and out in the yard, and we decided to climb a tree. And we were up in the tree, wasn't a very big tree, but it was big enough. And we were up there, and then we got an idea that we would get a rope and take it up in the tree. So we took the rope up there, and we tied it from one limb, and then we stretched it over and tied it to another limb. And we decided we were going to tightrope walk up in the top of this tree. And I can't remember how far a distance it was. It may have not been more than 3 or 4 feet, but I remembered I went across because I was the older brother, and I walked across the rope and held on to some little limbs when I went over. And that wasn't quite good enough because my brother thought that was kind of being chicken to do that and hold on to these other limbs. So I had to prove to him that I wasn't chicken. And I began to walk without holding on, and I fell out of the tree. And I fell out head first, and it's the Lord's mercy that I have both good eyes because I hit on my face going down out of that tree. It's very dangerous. I remember as a teenager working after school, I'd done something that was very dangerous and have a scar on my hand today where my finger was completely severed except for the fingernail. It was dangerous. I put the wrong size bolt in the hole and it came out. And something heavy come through my hands, and it's a miracle from the Lord that I have all of my digits today on my hands. I remember all of us anticipated getting our driver's license, and I know that young men are tempted to drive fast and go around corners fast and all of those kind of things. And I've done those share of things myself. I remember one time driving home from school or something, I was all by myself, just seeing how fast my old truck would go. And the sheet metal on the roof tin canned. And I don't know if you know what that means, but instead of being up, it popped in. And that it made a very loud sound. And it frightened me very. It was dangerous. I shouldn't have been going that fast. But the top tin canned in, and maybe that was the Lord speaking to me to slow down. I remember in high school as well, the dangerous times that happened when I was exposed to other young people that didn't have any desire to be pleasing to the Lord. The danger of too much association with young ladies at school that had other things on their mind besides wholesome things. It was a real danger that I had to contend with. There's others out here that's had to contend with the same thing. And I'm thankful that the Lord is able to keep us in all these times of danger. And He's had mercy on me and spared me from having great calamity and maybe losing an eye or a finger or a hand or maybe dying in a traffic accident that really could have been avoided if I just hadn't have been too careless with the danger element there. And as time has gone on, I haven't really pursued, I don't think I have anyway, just danger, but I've seen many things happen in my life that was dangerous. Cars that got started inadvertently without a driver in them. And them taking off out across the parking lot or through the building or something like that. And those can be very, very dangerous. It'd be times like that that everyone is scrambling for safety and to try to avoid catastrophe. We work around things that are combustible. I do. And we get careless sometimes of the great danger that can be there until the fire happens. And when you see gasoline ignite, it can be very frightening, and we realize how much danger is involved in what we're exposed to. But all these things, I know that for every little story that I tell, you've probably got two or three. And you've seen a lot of dangerous things happen in your life. But I'm concerned tonight about a danger for our spiritual man. Our spiritual man is exposed to danger as well. And I'd like for us to turn over to Psalms, the 73rd Psalm. We'll start reading here and would like to try to expose some danger with the help of the Lord. It says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Well nigh means almost. I was very close. Very close to having an accident. Think of the many times that we have had what we call close calls in the temporal life. And after it's all over, maybe we breathe a sigh of relief and we think, maybe we have some expression and we say, I'm so glad that didn't happen, whatever it might have been. I'm so glad we didn't have a wreck. I'm so glad that it didn't catch on fire. I'm so glad that no one broke a bone or whatever it was. He says, the writer says here, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there were no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. Notice the observation that the writer makes here. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. It seems like that they're invincible. Young people sometimes, and sometimes it's older people, feel like they're invincible. And danger is just something they like to play around with. And they take unnecessary chances just because of the thrill of danger and the kind of rush that it gets of defeating catastrophe that they get. Says their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Saying derogatory things against heaven, against God, against His plan, against His will. And their tongue walketh through the earth. Just finding fault with everything that comes their way. Says, therefore his people return hither, and waters of full cup are wrung out unto them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Have you ever been criticized for endeavoring to be a Christian? Have you ever felt others that look down on you because their perception was it was only the weak-minded that needed a God? So he says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. And if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Now the verse up above said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. What is the danger that's in this passage? I'll tell you the danger that I see. I see a dangerous position here because there was someone that was longing for sin. They were longing for the benefits that they seen of the unrighteous. They were looking and considering the life of someone that had no moral obligation or didn't seem to have any moral obligation to an almighty God. They were looking on and feeling that it just looks like it's unprofitable to be working so hard to try to be diligent with my life and to live an upright life in this world. It looks so enticing over there. He said, my steps had well nigh slipped. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I began to look around and say, it looks like they don't have any trouble. Their eyes are standing out with fatness. It seems like they got everything heart could wish. They say whatever comes to their mind, and they're always flying off of the handle. And it don't seem like they suffer any consequences. And if I say something, I feel guilty and I feel condemned. If I tell somebody just exactly what comes to my mind and how unpleasant they are, then I feel this reservation. It looks like it'd be so much better to just be able to just tell them what I thought. It'd be so much better if I could just enjoy the fatness that they did. They're just maybe they're just a little crooked here and a little crooked there in their business, and look at them. They got raking in money hand over fist. He says, my feet were almost gone, well nigh slipped. It's a dangerous position to be in. And tonight, if you're in a position that you're looking on at those around you that could care less whether God was approving of them or not. And you're thinking, you know, that might not be too bad. I wish I could just shake loose of this feeling of responsibility that I have towards God. If you're feeling that, I'm going to tell you, you're in a dangerous position tonight. You're in a place that could be very hazardous to your soul. If you're looking on at those that seem to be having a good time all of the time, and you've kind of always wondered what this tastes like, or that tastes like, or this felt like, or that felt like, and you just, you're just almost there. It's just about to the point that maybe if somebody wasn't watching, I'd try it. You're in a dangerous position in your soul. It goes beyond falling out of the tree when you're trying to tightrope walk. It's beyond that because it affects our eternal soul. And if we're trying to display a characteristic of being a Christian on one side, but yet there's this real longing and desire in my heart for the things out there that I know I'm not supposed to touch, and I know that I can't really participate in and feel God's approval on, you're in a dangerous place if you're really wanting that. So let's move on a little bit over to Matthew, the 7th chapter. I'd like to look at another danger. The point I'm trying to make with this passage in Psalms is, if you're looking on the sinful way of life, if you're looking on the way of the careless soul, and you really kind of think you would like to do that too, and it's really not seeming to be worth the effort, because it seems like there's always a battle and always a struggle that you're having to contend with, I'm telling you tonight, in the fear of the Lord, you're in a dangerous place with your soul. Now let's look here in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Start reading about the 21st verse, I believe. Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The margin in my Bible says false profession. A false profession. A hypocrite, if you will. You know, it's dangerous tonight to be in a backslidden condition. To have once maybe been able to have great power with God. There was some real works that had been done here. To have had great power and experienced the blessing and the anointing of God in your life, and now to be in a state of having lost that, that's a dangerous place to be in. To recognize that the valuable things of in my relationship with God has expired, and yet I'm maybe unwilling to recognize that I have backslid. Maybe I'm trying to justify and explain why I've taken the place that I have. But if we have lost the power and the anointing of God in our life, and to come up and meet the Lord in the end, and for Him to say to us, "I don't know you." You know, I was meditating and thinking on these verses right here. I recognize that God has a capacity to forget things that you and I don't have. And the Word teaches us that when we come and confess and repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness, the Word tells us that He forgets our transgressions and our sins, and He doesn't remember them anymore, and He casts them as far as the east is from the west. And I'm so grateful for that. But you know, when I read this, I get a picture of no matter how close in contact with God I've been through my life, if I allow that to leak out and I get into a place that I'm backslid before the Lord, He's going to forget what I did. That's a dangerous place to be in, to always be reflecting back on what the Lord used to do in your life and recognize that it's not really that way anymore, but I know that the Lord blessed me in the past and I believe that He'll have mercy on me. I'm telling you, that is a dangerous place to be in. And I don't... Now, even though I'm still a man, I get to the point now in my life that danger doesn't have near the appeal that it did when I was 10 or 15. There's a lot of times that I would a lot rather play it safe than to take the risk in temporal things. And so much more so in spiritual things. I do not want to put myself in a place of spiritual danger to where He would say, what did He say in the 23rd verse? I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. To realize that God forgot all of the times of blessing and inspiration and working through this little vessel that He might have done. And to realize He forgot that because I allowed myself to get in a backslidden condition, that would be a terrible wake-up call, would it not? Dangerous place. So if you're longing for to sneak out there and do something that you know you oughtn't, that's dangerous. And if you're backslidden, that's dangerous. And now I'd like to go to Acts, the 26th chapter. And notice another dangerous position. Paul here is, I believe that he was far more passionate than I could be able to relate tonight. 26th chapter of Acts. He's giving his reason for his life and what he's done in his life. Comes down to the 24th verse. And as he was passionately explaining why he had taken the course that he had in his life, it says here, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice. I believe he had to use a loud voice because Paul was loud. And Paul was being very passionate and very emphatic, and Festus, a Roman ruler or a Roman governor, spoke up and said, Paul, thou art beside thyself, with much learning doth make thee mad. Paul, wake up and listen to yourself. You've got so much learning and education and you give yourself over to this thing. I think you're crazy, Paul. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the word of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner, talking about Christ coming and talking about the lives that the disciples had lived and now he had taken up and the all of the events, the persecution maybe that Paul had pursued of the Christians, and now he was converted. He said this wasn't done in a corner. He had a letter from some higher authority to go over there to Damascus when he got interrupted by God. He's, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. I know you know what I'm talking about. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, can't you just picture, O King Agrippa, being moved by the anointing and the power of God, where he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Right in at the crux of the power of the anointing that was manifested through Paul, King Agrippa even said, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Now this is a very dangerous place to be in. To come to a setting like this, to come to a place where you're anticipating, witnessing God moving amongst His people, and not willing to really put your heart into it. It's dangerous. And time after time coming to this type of setting and being exposed to the gospel and yet saying, yeah, I know it's right. I know I shouldn't be living the way that I should. I know one of these days, I'm going to take care of things. One of these days, me and God's going to get together. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I wonder how many times souls have left this little facility here, because it's very small in comparison to other places that you could go. I wonder how many times souls have left thinking, I almost yielded to that spirit of anointing tonight or today, but I didn't. Almost, Agrippa said, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So I want to challenge you tonight. If you're in a place where you've been almost persuaded, you've been almost convinced, but just not willing to own up to it. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That's a very dangerous place to be in tonight. So if you're backslidden, if you're almost persuaded, or if you're hungering and just relishing the thought, if, you know, if I knew that I could get by with it, I would. That those are very dangerous places to be in your soul. I'd like to close with a couple of verses over here, a little passage in Matthew, the 13th chapter. Notice what our Lord and Savior said. He told a parable. And after he told the parable, in the 38th, 36th verse maybe, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And the disciples came in unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. So, seems to be reasonable, the disciples wanted to have a better understanding. And he said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be in the end of the world. See, danger has a tremendous response. Possibility of doing major harm.
Yes.
Major harm.
Yes.
You know, if I went through my life and I don't feel like I've just really pursued living on the edge all the time, but if I went through my life, I could reasonably come to the conclusion that I ought to be missing some fingers. I ought to be blind in at least one eye. And I ought to have more scars and quite possibly not even be alive today. I know that. He says here, the consequences, the end result is, the tares are going to be gathered in the fire, so it shall be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all the things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Wailing and gnashing of teeth. You ever done something and then wished you hadn't? You ever been in a situation that you realized the danger and you went ahead and sure enough, it happened. Sure enough, you mashed your finger, or sure enough, something come about that brought you at least part of what you anticipated. You know, at the end, there's going to be a division between the good and the bad. The danger is now, we're contending with danger now. But the end result is could be very catastrophic to our soul. I had another little time in my life. I had an electric meter taken out of the house, and y'all know where the meter sits in what we call a meter can or something, and I had temporarily had another meter mounted, so my power was coming in a different direction. So to hook up to my original wiring in the house, I had put some little jumpers in that old meter can, and I didn't have anything to cover it with. And we went to service, pieces of copper tubing or something, and I was putting in a new service in the house, and we had to quit and get ready to go to service. And as we were going out of the house, I told the boys, I said, whatever you do, don't get close to that thing. Don't even act like you're going to touch it. And sure enough, when we got back from service that evening, I didn't have time to get everything out of the car. We was headed in the house, and one of my sons had a stick, thank the Lord, and was jobbing it up in there where that electricity was. Now, if it had been anything that would have been conductive, I would have had a dead boy. But thank the Lord it wasn't, and it didn't cost him his life, but it could have had. It was very dangerous. And I told him, son, I told them all when we got in the car, I said, I've had to do something here temporarily. I said, boys, don't go over there close to that. That thing could kill you. But because of who they are, here they go with a stick and try to poke just to see. And you know, it's dangerous to go through your life being a hypocrite. It's dangerous to go through your life almost persuaded. It's dangerous to go through your life and just kind of wanting a chance to see what it's like out there. And the devil's going to just keep presenting it until he gets you. That's what's going to happen. So it says here, in the end, there's going to be a division. You're going to get shocked. It's going to be a shock, isn't it? If you think you've got a deal with God and you really don't have things taken care of in your soul, it's going to be a shock. And it's going to be a deathly shock. Because it says it's going to burn. Now let's skip down to the 47th verse. And it says here again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that is cast into the sea and hath gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the wood into vessels, but cast the bad away. Gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from amongst the just. This is not Paul's words. It's not my words. This is Christ's words. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be great consequences for living a dangerous life. There's going to be great consequences of tampering with danger and not being willing to really make things right with you and the Lord and lay all the weights aside. Yes. It's going to be dangerous. Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? And they said, say unto him, yea, Lord. Now, those of us that are parents have probably, and been parents very long, you've probably had an opportunity to be trying to give some instruction or discipline to your children, and maybe you're talking to them very firmly and very seriously, and somewhere towards the end of the conversation, you say, do you understand what I'm saying? And they'll say, yes, Dad, I understand. Even if they go and violate what you just told them, they understood at the time. And I would venture to say, I don't remember that distinctly, but I would venture to say that I stressed it very firmly about not getting close to that old meter can. And they said, I understand. But they went ahead and done it a little while later. Now, I want to ask you tonight, do you understand the danger of tampering with your soul? Do you understand the danger of allowing the experience with God to leak out and just be trusting in the past? That's dangerous. Are we in a position that the tantalizing aspect of being able to indulge in something out there that we have had convictions from God ourselves? It looks so good. It's dangerous, folks. And I'm asking you with the words of Jesus tonight, do you understand? Have you understood all of these things? To be in a place, maybe meeting, camp meeting after camp meeting, year after year, Sunday after Sunday, whatever it is, I almost invested here a while back in something, but I didn't. I almost did. Have you been almost persuaded to be a Christian? It's dangerous, folks. And if you are called into account tonight, how would it stand? And Jesus asked his disciples, have you understood these things? Do you understand the danger? And they said, I don't think they were answering him like Paul was talking to Agrippa and Festus. Jesus said, do you understand what I'm trying to say? And they said, yea, Lord. So I'd like for us to stand and sing number 459. And I'd like for us to think about the little thought tonight. And I want to ask you, do you understand? Do you really understand? If you really understand the danger, you won't go sticking something in where the danger is.
That's right.
You won't take the chance. Now, let's just be real sensible here. It's only 220 volts in that box. And this stick, this wooden stick, was at least 3 foot long. And there is no way that 220 volts was going to travel down a dead, dry stick and shock that boy. So really, how dangerous was it? Was it? The principle was very, very dangerous. The principle was very dangerous. If that stick had been wet, they'd have got bit. If it had been a green limb off the tree, they would have got bit. If it had been a piece of galvanized conduit that had been laying around, or a piece of pipe, they'd have been dead.
Yes.
That's the deal there, see? Danger. Do you just like the idea of living with danger? Just kind of get your heart rate up a little bit and makes you feel kind of enthused and all of that. And you like that feeling of, something happens when danger gets close. It's kind of like your nasal passages clear out and you can breathe deeper. And I don't know what all that stuff is, but is that what you like? I'm going to tell you, it's going to get real sensitive when Christ comes back. And you're going to be wishing that you hadn't been that close to danger. So I want to implore you tonight. Don't allow this thrill of flirting with danger to cost you your soul. That's what we're here to do business with. We're not here to fix other problems. We're just here to try to help each one of us to make heaven our home. You pray for me. I don't want to allow the things that we've talked about tonight to overtake me in my life. I want to stay away from danger, and I want to be successful. You pray for me. Let's sing 459.